Hare Krishna. Good morning, dear devotees. Glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Brihadbhagavatamrita, Volume 2, Chapter 4, Text 139. Now, last time, I said at the end of class that I was going to move quickly, and I'm planning on just reading the verses themselves and not the commentaries, and we're going to move along because I've already discussed a lot of these topics previously, and there are a few places where I will give some commentary, and although I'm not quite sure where that will be yet, but we'll move a little bit faster than usual for the same purpose as I described last time, so that we can get closer together with the other class. Okay, text 139. Shri Narada Uvacha. Pashu pakshi ganan vriksha lata gulma trinadikan atra drishtanamanyasva prativangs tamasam eva. Shri Narada said, "Don't think that the flocks of animals and birds of this place, or the trees, creepers, bushes, grass and other vegetation are made from earth like ordinary creatures in the mode of ignorance." Commentary. In Vaikuntha, Gopakumar saw many animals. Oh, I wasn't going to read the commentary. That's right. Text 140. Ete hi Satchidananda Rupa Shri Krishna Parshada Vichitra Sevanandaya Tat Tad Rupani Bibhrati. In fact, these are all personal associates of Shri Krishna, all with spiritual Satchidananda bodies. They have assumed such forms to taste the ecstasy of serving the Lord in various ways. Text 141. Yadvarna vadyad akaram rupam bhagavato syaye nijapriyatamatvena bhavayanto bhajan imam. They have assumed forms with colors and shapes similar to those of the Lord they have worshipped as most dear. Text 142. Tadrisham tesya sarupyam prapta nana kritishya manusya munayo deva rishiyo matsyukachapa. Having each attained sameness with the particular form of the Lord, they have gained the opulences of various kinds of bodies as sages, demigods, fish, tortoises, human beings, and mystic seers. Varaha Narasinghascha Vamanascha Trilochanaha Chaturmukha Sahasraksha Mahapurusha Vigraha. Some have become hogs, man lions, or dwarfs. Some have three eyes, four arms, or thousands of eyes like the Mahapurusha. Text 144. Sahasavakra Suryendu Vayu Vanyadi Rupana Chaturbhujadi Rupascha Tattadveshadi Rupanaha. Some have assumed bodies with thousands of faces, or the features of such deities as the sun, the moon, and the gods of air and fire. Some have four arms, or eight, or 12, or more, and various kinds of dress, ornaments, symbols, and other attributes. Stop here for now, and we'll summarize what we've read. Om Jnana Timirandasya Gnanjana Salakaya Chakshur Unminitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam Kuroti Vachalam Hungum Nangayate Garim Yat Kripa Tamaham Bande Shri Gurandina Taranam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namane Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pacharane Nirvishesha Shanyavari Pasyachade Sitarane Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasiri Gaura Bhaktivinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hari 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 Rama Hari Rama 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 Hari Hari. Excuse me. Narada Muni is speaking, and he is revealing knowledge of Vaikuntha to Gopakumara, and of course Gopakumara is explaining this whole conversation to the Mathura Brahman. As we described, Narada Muni understood that Gopakumara could not fully grasp what he was experiencing in Vaikuntha. Narada Muni, therefore understanding that was which was going on in his heart, although Gopakumara did not inquire, Narada Muni was sufficiently realized to understand that he didn't need to inquire, and it would be of benefit for him to give answers. Gopakumara, on one occasion, as we read, he attempted to inquire about the Lord's departure when the Lord descended. But he didn't get to ask his question, because before even his question was asked, the Lord was already back. So, there are a lot of questions that are in his mind, and there are a lot of answers which Narada Muni feels compassionate to reveal and explain to Gopakumar. One of the characteristics, as we know, of Vaikuntha is that we oftentimes describe it as a place of awe and reverence, but what distinguishes Vaikuntha from Goloka is that it is conscious knowledge of awe and reverence. We've spoken about this previously, but the point is that those who reside in Vaikuntha, they're consciously knowing the position of the Lord, what to speak of the unlimited glories of the Lord, and what to speak of the features of Vaikuntha, in contrast, as we've many times explained, to the devotees of Goloka, who are not consciously aware of where they are, nor do they have conscious knowledge of Krishna's divinity. And even when sometimes some conscious knowledge may manifest, Yoga Maya just takes care of it right away and cleans it out, dissipates that conscious knowledge to enhance the devotee's ecstatic mood. We've already given many times the examples of that, of the cowherd men, that when they were having a discussion about Krishna's potential divinity, Yogamaya simply came and wiped it all clean. They completely even forgot about the conversation they were having. And that's what Yogamaya does. She wipes clean any conscious or any awareness or any knowledge which may in any way interfere with one's ecstatic mood of love for the Lord. Because as we explained also many times, in Goloka, the devotees know only one thing. And that's all they need to know. Krishna is my son. Anything else? It just doesn't sit. It doesn't remain. And although even there may be an attempt to introduce something to that effect, such as what Uddhava tried to do to Nanda Maharaj, you know, Nanda Maharaj immediately has all the answers to contradict Uddhava's statements to make it clear, okay, even if my son is God, first he says, how could he be God? You know, he steals, he cries when he doesn't have sufficient hunger, he carries my shoes on his head, he lies. So, but even if you say he's God, and then still he's my son. So, in other words, this is how Yogamaya serves the devotees' love. Or same thing happened to Mother Jasoda. When Mother Jasoda, when she looked at Krishna's mouth, Krishna, to see if Krishna had eaten dirt, then Krishna showed why. He showed everything to Mother Jasoda from within his mouth, completely bewildered her. She became temporarily philosophical. And when Krishna saw that she was becoming philosophical, then Yogamaya appeared and said, Krishna was thinking, wow, if she becomes philosophical, then she's not going to fondle me like her son, and she's not going to feed me. So Yogamaya immediately came and just wiped it clean. Completely wiped it clean. So Yogamaya is there that even if there's some talk about it that may sometimes appear, because there is some talk about it from time to time, there's talk about Krishna's, you know, being empowered by Narayan, but Yogamaya comes and just wipes the discussions and wipes the memories completely clean. Clean slate. It doesn't stick. So that's Goloka, but as we know, in Vaikuntha, there's conscious knowledge of awe and reverence. And conscious knowledge of awe and reverence means that the more conscious one becomes of the opulences, the powers, the glories, then the more it heightens the devotee's ecstasy, because it's ever increasing, and it heightens the devotee's ecstasy of his relationship with the Lord of awe and reverence. And because that's the nature of the quote-unquote place, that is what Gopakumar was thinking, that I have a lot of questions about what I'm seeing. It seems very amazing. But because he was very naive and simple, and he didn't find anybody to ask, but they were still lingering, still lingering it within him, because that's the nature of the place. It's knowledge of what's happening here. Who are these people? Who are these forms I'm seeing? Why is it I'm seeing all these unlimited forms flying in, all of them resembling the Lord, some of them appearing in different forms, naturally, just the vision of seeing all of that is instilling within him a lot of questions that Narada Muni, being fully knowledgeable, and is capable of giving answers to. So that is what's happening. And all of these verses, Narada Muni is filling in Gopakumar with why you're seeing all this phantasmagoria, all these forms. And of course, Gopakumar is explaining it to the Mathura Brahmin. And he's telling the Mathura Brahmin what Narada Muni told him, which says, don't think that what you're seeing here is material. Don't think that way. It's not. And therefore, the first verse that we read was that don't think that all these animals, birds, trees, creepers, bushes, grass, vegetation, don't think that they're made from earth like ordinary creatures in the mode of ignorance. They're not. Well, who are they? Then he goes on to explain. In fact, these are all personal associates of Sri Krishna. And they all have spiritual Satchitananda bodies. They have assumed these forms to taste the ecstasy of serving the Lord in various ways. Now he's going to tell them about the different forms. They have different forms with colors, different shapes, similar to those of the Lord they worshipped as most dear. In other words, they were worshipping a form of the Lord prior to their entrance into Vaikuntha. That particular form they worshipped was a form which was most dear to them, and because they were meditating on that form, then they were given a form of the Lord, Sarupya Mukti, they were given a form. Who were they? And he says, they have gained the opulences of various kinds of bodies, sages, demigods, fish, tortoises, human beings, mystic seers. Okay. Why? Because the Lord appears in various incarnations as a sage, as a fish, as matsya, as a tortoise, as kurma, human beings, Ramachandra, mystic seers, Kapila, who is a rishi. Some have become hogs, Varaha, man-lions, Nishinga, dwarfs, Vamana. Some have three eyes, four arms, or thousands of eyes, like the Mahapurusha. Who is the Mahapurusha? The Mahapurusha has unlimited faces. He is actually the first, when the creation takes place, Lord Mahapurusha, he performs the very first sacrifice, and he performed, and not only performs the sacrifice, but he offers all the sacrificial ingredients from his own body for the sacrifice. And it is Lord Mahapurusha who appears in the heavenly kingdom, and that's who Gopakumar saw when he was there in the heavenly kingdom. He saw Mahapurusha being worshipped there. They're all different forms of the Lord. Some have assumed bodies with thousands of faces, or features of such deities as the sun, the moon, the gods of air and fire. Now here's, this is, requires a little explanation, and I'm going to try to give this explanation, because we can understand how all these forms were incarnations of the Lord, and devotees worship those particular forms of incarnations of the Lord. But why would somebody become a demigod? And as we know, anybody who worships demigods is certainly, as Krishna says, those who worship the demigods, they go to the planet of the demigods. Those who worship the forefathers, they go to the forefathers. Those who worship the ghosts and spirits, they go there. Those who worship me, they come to me. So how is it that a perfected soul enters into Vaikuntha and then has a demigod's body? It may seem like something's wrong, you know, because our understanding of worship of demigods, Krishna says, it's avidipurvakam. It's done without knowledge. And however, there is a difference when someone is worshipping the demigods in ignorance, and they're worshipping the demigods because they're interested in obtaining a material boon from them. And that is different from somebody who, say, worships the demigods. Even like the gopis worshipped Katyayani. But what did they want? They understood that they're worshipping them because they want Krishna's favor. In fact, there are many worshippers of Lord Shiva who see Lord Shiva as the greatest Vaishnava. They follow his instructions and worship him to attain Krishna's favor, because Lord Shiva is very favorably disposed towards those who want to get Krishna's favor. And whereas, of course, there are many persons who worship Lord Shiva for some material benediction. That is a difference. And that point is brought out in the commentary. And I wanted to just read a small part of the commentary to text 144 so that we can have a better understanding why does somebody come to Vaikuntha and then take a demigod's body? It seems they should have gone some other place. Why Vaikuntha? So, in the commentary, where is it? Okay. I'm assuming that Sankarshan Natai is translating, so I'm going to have to tell him where to find where I'm reading from. And if you look in text 144, in the paragraph that begins in texts 144 through 147, if you go down in that paragraph, about halfway, it begins. Some who worship Shiva or Brahma as a representative of the Supreme appear in bodies with three eyes or four heads. Some appear like Indra with 1,000 eyes. Like Ananta Shesha, with thousands of heads, or like Surya or other demigods. Vedic scriptures like the Indra Shrutis, the mantras glorifying Indra, support such worship of demigods as representatives of the Supreme Lord. In the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, we also find demigods like Surya, being worshipped as representatives of the Lord in Plakshadweep and the other divisions of the Bhur Loka planetary system. The only means for achieving entrance into Vaikuntha is pure, exclusive love for the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. Ordinary demigod worshippers are never eligible to become residents of Vaikuntha. But worshippers who regard Shiva and other demigods as non-different from Lord Vishnu achieve special Vaishnava perfection. Non-different means seeing them as representatives of the Lord. And this will come out. As the Vamana Purana and other scriptures describe, those devotees join the exalted associates of the Supreme Lord they worship, either on the respective planets of the demigod representatives of the Lord, or in some cases, on a Vaikuntha planet, where the devotees are endowed with the special opulences of those demigods. So, that is the understanding. Those who worship, for instance, Lord Shiva, even Durga, Katyayani, and other demigods who are worshipped to obtain the favor of the Lord, seeing them as the Lord's representatives. Now, of course, someone may say then, why are they going to the demigods? Why don't they go directly to the Lord himself? And that is their method of worship. And ultimately, Srila Prabhupada explains and answers this question, and that's why I wanted to read this also. It's a quote from Srila Prabhupada in a book called Renunciation Through Wisdom. And I will read the section. I'm sorry, maybe I didn't give this to you, Sankarshan Natai. Or maybe I did. But I'll read it slowly so that you can translate it. Although Lord Krishna is equally disposed toward all, he is nonetheless especially his devotee's well-being. Wait a minute. However, one should not conclude that the Lord is nepotistic. I assume you'll know what nepotism is. Nepotism is when somebody's in a big position and he favors his family and friends and puts them in big positions. So, however, one should not conclude that the Lord is nepotistic. As he declares in the Bhagavad Gita, as they surrender, I reward them accordingly. Though the devotees are desireless and undemanding, the Lord always sees to their requirements. The devotees are ever joyful upon receiving such grace from the Lord, and there is no offense or sin in accepting his benedictions. Here one may pose a question. Why do only the devotees of Lord Krishna attain to his transcendental abode? After all, the demigods are simply energies of Lord Krishna. And the scriptural conclusion is that the energy and the energetic are non-different. Therefore, why can't those who worship the demigods, Krishna's energies, attain to the transcendental abode of the Lord? In reply, let us first refer to what Lord Krishna himself says in Bhagavad Gita, Ye pyanya devata bhakta yajanti shradayanvata te pimam eva kaunteya yajantya viripurvakam. Those who are devotees of other gods and who worship them with faith actually worship only me, O son of Kunti, but they do so avidipurvakam. They do so in a wrong way. People worship demigods to fulfill temporary material desires, and the results they achieve from such worship are equally temporary and material. But if one worships the demigods with the knowledge that they are the Supreme Lord's energies, then this worship is accepted as authorized, and gradually such a worshiper becomes a devotee of Lord Krishna, the Supreme Godhead. But if one worships the demigods with the idea that they are on an equal level with Lord Krishna, then such worship is unauthorized, because Lord Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, unequaled and unsurpassed. Therefore, no demigod can exist independent of Lord Krishna. Lord Krishna is just like a king, and the demigods are like his ministers. The minister may sit on a throne and manage state affairs, but he is not independent. His powers come from the king. In summary, if they worship the Supreme Lord and worship the demigods as representatives of the Supreme Lord, understanding that Krishna is supreme, they're his representatives, I want Krishna's favor, then what happens, as Prabhupada says, gradually, they become devotees of Lord Krishna. Although they may have worshipped these particular forms, gradually they became devotees of the Lord Krishna, and some of them, as explained in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, some of them may actually, in their purified state of consciousness, they may actually accept a demigod's body. Now, what are demigod's bodies doing in Vaikuntha? We've already explained the varieties of forms are there for the Lord's pleasure. And now Rupa Goswami will conclude this topic with a very, very short explanation from Laghu Bhagavatamrita. I guess I can't find it. I will then summarize it myself. He explains in Laghu Bhagavatamrita that the Lord in Vaikuntha desires to have associates for variety, and therefore some of those associates adopt different bodies of different demigods, and they should never be accepted as the same demigods who are in the material world as Sakama Bhaktas, because many of the demigods are Sakama Bhaktas. They have material motivations. They're not completely pure. But because of the variety of pastimes that goes on in Vaikuntha, as we explained before, sometimes we see Shiva is there, Brahma is there, and the other demigods, they are there. But they're not the demigods of the material world. They are Krishna Parishad. They are eternal associates of the Lord who've assumed that body to increase the Lord's pleasure by manifesting these forms for the variety of experiences in Vaikuntha. Essentially, that's what Rupa Goswami explains in Laghu Bhagavatamrita. So that's it on the demigods. I'm not going to go any farther on that. But I just try to explain it so that we can understand. It's easy to understand why devotees, perfected souls, would achieve forms of the Lord in his various incarnations, but why forms of demigods? And why are they situated in Vaikuntha eternally in these demigod forms? This was the answer given both by Sanatana Goswami, Rupa Goswami, and in part by Srila Prabhupada, who explains that such worship of the demigods, that one in order to attain the favor of Krishna, brings one to worship of Krishna and qualifies one to become completely pure, because they are only interested in Krishna's favor. And Prabhupada emphasized the point, they're not interested in obtaining anything material. Haranyakashipu, they all wanted material, Ravana, they worshipped for some material boon. But these worshippers only want Krishna's favor. Gopis, they wanted to become Krishna's husbands. They wanted, and therefore they worship Katyayani to get Krishna's favor. Pachetas, they wanted Krishna's favor. They took the instructions given to them by Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva was very favorably disposed towards them, and not only that, blessed them to achieve the Lord's favor. Because the Prachetas were very dear to Lord Shiva. Why? Because they weren't approaching him for a material benediction. Lord Shiva was seeing these are very exalted devotees. I have to give them my favor because they're such exalted devotees. That is how Lord Shiva sees, and that is the difference. So Lord, therefore we see different examples of getting the favor of demigods. What to speak of the fact of the mature Brahmin. The mature Brahmin got the favor of Goddess Kamakya, who is expansion of Durga, and she gave him the favor of giving him the Gopal Mantra. And because he began chanting the Gopal Mantra, then gradually, by meditating on the mantra, he began to want to know more, although he was very naive and didn't know anything. But because of the Lord's presence in the mantra, he was finally brought to that place in Mathura where Gopakumar was waiting for him. Or should I say, Sarupa was waiting for him, who was sent by Radharani, who Kamakya is an expansion of Srimati Radharani. She gave the benediction of giving him the Gopal Mantra, and then Radharani sent Sarupa to tell the story, his story, to the Mathura Brahmin. All of this was arranged by Radharani or Krishna through their different expansions. So, therefore, because he was a worshipper of the goddess of Kamakya, obviously there must have been something there in his worship which qualified him to gradually become a devotee of Krishna. Must have been, because she gave him the Gopal Mantra, and Radharani then sent Sarup to instruct him. So, again, it was worship of a demigod, but he got the position of a cowherd boy in Goloka Vrindavan. No Vaikuntha for him. By the mercy of Srimati Radharani and Sarupa. And by the way, this is another reason why This is another reason why it's beneficial to understand why so much endeavor is being explained to understand how the Lord appears in many forms, in many places, even in the material world and expansions, because this is exactly what's happening to the Mathura Brahmin. And it's exactly what happened to Gopakumar also, being favored by these different expansions of the Lord. So, I'm going to stop there. And today is Wednesday. I finished the discussion on text 144. And we will begin on 145 in our next class on Sunday. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadardhara Shiva Siddhi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. We will end here, dear devotees. Next class will be on Saturday for North America. It will be at 5:45 p.m. India time. And then Sunday at 10 a.m. India time. And I have no other announcements, so we can end here. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya. Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Har Shiva Sri Gaura Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.